For millions of girls around the world, marriage is not an issue of individual choice or a matter of the heart. It's a business agreement between families arranged by elder males. Some girls are forced to marry as young as 5. It's forbidden by international agreements, outlawed in many countries, yet the tradition continues. Photojournalist Stephanie Sinclair spent the past 8 years investigating the secret world of child marriage all over the world, from India to Yemen, Afghanistan to Nepal and Ethiopia. Her images were featured in the June issue of National Geographic, and she joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me, Neil.
And Cynthia Gorney wrote an article that accompanied your photographs in the magazine, and she describes a desperation wanting to rescue one girl in particular under being married in Rajasthan in India at the age of 5.
Yeah, that was Rajani. She's a beautiful young girl who was married with her 2 older sisters during the same ceremony. And that is the overwhelming feeling you have when you're in these situations. But at the same time, you realize that these are cultural issues that are that happen and have developed because of a necessity. So a lot of it stems from poverty. It stems from wanting to keep families close to each other. And so they have an alliance. And so there are reasons that this that these traditions started. However, the world has changed so much. And so, it's mostly happening in rural areas where development hasn't quite gotten as far along as it has in the cities.
You called it a necessity. Why would you describe it that way?
Well, these traditions, harmful traditional practices, have been around for, thousands of years. So people lived much shorter lives at that time. So, their idea was that you had to have as many children as possible. So as soon as a young girl was, had her first menstruation, they wanted them to have children because they needed them. They needed them to work in the fields and because not every child lived at that time as well. Not that they do now, but, it was much more prevalent in the past to have, maternal mortality or infant mortality. And so they had to, this was one of the tactics they used.
I was interested in just the mechanics. The 5-year-old was being married to a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, and this was, primarily, this was done so the family could save money. So they can't afford to have 3 weddings. And so the 2 older girls were 13 and 15, I believe. And so Rajani was only 5, but there was 3 sisters who were marrying 3 brothers. And so in that case, they get to have 1 wedding, and that the grandfather, in Rajani's case, was trying to ensure that his youngest granddaughter would have a safe place to live and be protected by her sisters. I don't think any of the grooms knew any of the brides. So this was an arranged marriage for both the boys and the girls.
And they were, as you and Cynthia Gorney were waiting their arrival, people expecting them to arrive in, I think the expression was, in high spirits and drunk.
Yes, and that happened. It was actually, like I said, it is a harmful traditional practice, and there are some really, the festivities were amazing to see, and it was, the outfits were beautiful, but at the same time, there was a harmful aspect to this where, there is underage marriage happening, and they did arrive intoxicated in the evening, but a lot of that was actually because it's held in the middle of the night because it's illegal in India, and they had this wedding in secret.
And, of course, the 5-year-old's name and prospects were not published on the wedding invitation.
No. and we respected the family's wishes to kind of, we're allowed to use her first name, but we can't say what village she's in and things like that. Even after working on this issue for so long, I had never seen a wedding like this where the girl, the youngest bride was, really just a child. I mean, they're children in their early teens as well, but this was a small child, and they woke her up at 4 o'clock in the morning because that's when her actual ceremony happened, was the latest in the evening. And they woke her up at 4 in the morning, and they just kind of put her gently over her uncle's shoulder and carried her to the wedding. And both she or her young husband, neither of them knew really what was going on.
Interesting, too, that the women in the village, her relatives, her older relatives, completely in favor of this. I went through this, you will too.
Yeah, I mean, I think because this is happening in the really rural areas, I think that they don't know another option. You know, this is, you know, I was just listening to your previous discussion. I mean, it's similar, you know, this is in the rural areas, so there's not as much education, there's not as much development. And so I think with education, that's really the main thing that stops this issue from you know, increasing. And basically, the girls need to be educated, the families need to be educated, the community needs to be educated on the downsides of this, which are, you know, increased physical problems, you know, all kinds of issues that can happen to the girl, from fistula to prolapsed uterus to, you know, mental issues that can result, which we saw in Afghanistan.
One of the purposes of this was to have girls start having babies as soon as they are physically able to. Are girls as young as 5 expected to be sexually active?
No, I think that they realize that that isn't going to happen in this with a 5-year-old. However, I did photograph, and it was part of the article, I photographed 2 young brides who were 8 years old, and they were married to husbands, I think late 20s, early 30s, and they were both one of them was sexually active, the other one was not.
We were talking about this one marriage in this one village in India. There are other places that you've also documented where there is a tradition of abduction and rape prior to marriage.
Yeah, this happens. It happens in several places. And often, again, it's a poverty issue. It's, you know, the families can't afford necessarily to pay the dowries involved. And so, you know, like, for instance, it happens in Ethiopia in that way. And, you know, the girl might be going to school, which is so ironic because this is the way out of this this tradition. But the girl might be going to school and get abducted. And then once she's raped and impregnated, then she's lost so much of her honor that it's very hard, and the family's honor, that it's very, the family just kind of is like, okay, you can have her, you know, and it's also a gender disparity issue on that, you know, that there is, that somehow, you know, it's that she's not fighting back. I mean, she has, some of these girls actually have fought back, but the family is not fighting back culturally when this happens in certain communities. They just kind of relinquish the girl to her abductor. And that's just because they're just not valued quite the same as men.
We're talking with Stephanie Sinclair, a contributing photographer with National Geographic, about Too Young to Wed, The Secret World of Child Brides. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And there are moments, in fact, when situations like that, which do make headlines around the world. There was one young woman in particular, I think it was in Yemen.
Yes, Najood Ali. She is quite a character. I love her to death. She's really, really strong-willed young girl who was married when she was really young, I believe 8 years old, and she decided that she was going to, she didn't want to do this anymore. And they were sexually active. You know, he did, you know, rape her, in her words. And she actually has a book out now with the help of a friend of mine who helped her write it. But basically, she went to she had 2 mothers, because you're allowed to have multiple wives there. So not her biological mother, but the other mother, she went to her and told her what was happening. And she encouraged her to go to the courthouse. And that's where she met the lawyer, Shada Nasser, who then decided to take her case. And she ended up getting a divorce. And, you know, because I think a lot of times when when a lot of times these marriages happen, the families always say that they're not going to touch the girls till they're older. I've heard that in almost every situation I've been in. But that turns out to not be the case more often than not.
What is the fate of those girls who do not marry?
Well, that's the other problem. You know, in a lot of these places, there's not quite enough to do with them. You know, there's few schools. And like, for instance, in Yemen, this was a really difficult situation because the girls, you know, they stay in school as long until they reach puberty. But the problem is that there's not a private bathroom for boys and girls. So there's nowhere for her to really deal with her menstruation in a private space. There's, there's no female teachers because the girls aren't educated. So the families feel uncomfortable having a male teacher with a girl who's reached puberty. So it kind of is a vicious circle in that situation, because if there's, you know, not enough girls making it, you know, past primary school, then they can't become teachers.
There's a, quoting again from Cynthia Gorney's article that accompanied some of your photographs, a Hindi term, pariah dhan, which refers to daughters still living with their own parents as meaning someone else's wealth. Stephanie Sinclair, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me and for taking on this issue.
Stephanie Sinclair, contributing photographer with National Geographic. Her images were featured in the June issue of National Geographic magazine, Too Young to Wed, The Secret World of Child Brides. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.